It's 8:30, time for a local news update with Sharon Alseth.
Thank you, Don. Good morning, everyone. New York engineering firm Thornton Tomasetti worked on the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks and investigated the Minneapolis interstate collapse. Now it's looking at what caused the Indiana State Fair stage roof to fall.
We're collecting data from the field, from existing documents, from building design information, structural design information, manufacturer's information.
Thornton Tomasetti's Scott Nackman says it could have been a freak of nature, something structural, or a combination. State Fair officials have said an unpredictable gust of wind toppled the rigging in the tower roof on Saturday night, killing five people. But weather and safety experts told the Indianapolis Star that there was ample warning time given before the Sugarland concert. Governor Mitch Daniels is calling the need for stage inspections in the aftermath of the collapse a learning point. Daniels said Tuesday he may support mandating inspections of temporary structures like the State Fair stage. The Indiana Department of Homeland Security, which includes the state fire marshal, said it did not inspect the stage that collapsed. Fair spokesman Andy Klott said Monday he did not know if anyone had inspected the stage. Indiana's child poverty rate is significantly worse than a decade ago. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
According to the Annie E. Casey Foundation, a private charity organization focused on families and children, 20% of Hoosier children lived in poverty in 2009, the most recent year for which data is available. That's up from 14% in 2000. And while child poverty rates went up nationwide during that time, the national average increase was only 18%, compared to Indiana's rate, which went up 43%. Indiana Youth Institute President Bill Stanjakovich says that figure isn't only a result of the recent recession.
When you look at the dislocation of the manufacturing sector, you look at the lower levels of education for our adult population compared to other states, and when you look at the increase in the number of children living in single-parent households, those factors add up to the increase in Indiana's child poverty rate over the last decade.
Stanjakovich says there is no magic bullet solution and that the problem must be faced at the individual, family, community, and governmental levels. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
More anguish for the parents of 20-year-old IU student Lauren Spear, missing since June 3rd. Authorities are now searching a landfill near Terre Haute as part of their investigation. Lauren's father, Robert, tells our partners at Wish TV Channel 8 that they hope the start of the school year will bring fresh clues.
We're hoping that whoever knows anything about Lauren's disappearance, if it's somebody coming back for the new semester, we beg that you share that information with us.
The Spears have been in Bloomington all summer and vow to stay until Lauren is found. A third Columbus teenager has been sentenced to 2 years in jail in connection with the arson of a historic church in Brown County last year. Jonathan Ming's punishment includes 1 year of the term suspended and credit for time served. Ming's was among seven teens charged for a fire that destroyed the Grandview Apostolic Church in July of 2010. And civil liberties groups are challenging South Bend's plan to buy a discount store property and sell it to the Roman Catholic Diocese for a dollar. The local diocese wants to use the property for a new high school's football field. The American Civil Liberties Union and Americans United for Separation of Church and State contend the move violates the First Amendment. A bank name in Indiana is leaving. Wayne Pratt has more. Inside Indiana Business.
Flagstar Bank is selling its Indiana branches. Here's Inside Indiana Business reporter Andy Ober.
The Ohio-based parent of First Financial Bank is planning to acquire all 22 Flagstar Bank branches in Indiana. Most of those locations are in Indianapolis. The deal is expected to close during the fourth quarter. First Financial says the branches are located in demographically attractive areas in Indianapolis and says the acquisition will make it one of the largest community banks operating in the market. Indiana's Flagstar Bank branches hold more than $525 million in deposits. Andy Ober, Inside Indiana Business Radio.
A report released today shows factors stemming from the tough economy, including home foreclosures and unemployment, are also affecting Hoosier children. The 2011 Kids Count data book from the Annie E. Casey Foundation ranks Indiana 31st among all states for child health and well-being. The research shows one in five children live in poverty in this state, and around 13% have an unemployed parent. Another jobs announcement is planned today in Indianapolis. Mayor Greg Ballard will attend this afternoon's event involving Old Dominion Freight Line. The company has a major hub in the city. Today's announcement follows yesterday's news that Indianapolis-based Angie's List is adding 500 positions. Inside Indiana Business Radio on WFYI is made possible by the following.
A powerful combination of experience and innovation has made Indiana a leader in life sciences. More about how BioCrossroads is fueling growth is available at biocrossroads.com, where ideas find life.
Impact the business world with a degree from the Evening MBA program at the Kelly School of Business, Indianapolis. The program combines classroom learning with professional experience to produce an education unique to Indianapolis' urban campus. Learn more at kelly.iupui.edu.
Purdue University's Presidential Search Committee is expected to meet for the first time today. The Journal and Courier in Lafayette reports the panel will hold a public session before going behind closed doors to discuss potential candidates. The committee is searching for a replacement for President Franz Cordova, who is planning to leave the post next year. An Indiana school is offering a new healthcare major. The Heron School of Art in Indianapolis has launched a master's program in art therapy with an equal focus on the arts and sciences. Juliet King directs the two-year program, which she says is the only one of its type in Indiana.
And that it's a residence program that offers both the practicum and internship experience that is necessary in order to fulfill the requirements to earn the Master's of Art in Art Therapy graduate degree.
We have a full interview with King on our website, InsideIndianaBusiness.com. Later today on Inside Indiana Business Radio, we will have the latest business news on FM 90.1. Until then, updates are available at InsideIndianaBusiness.com, your source for news, video, and business on demand. I'm Wayne Pratt for WFYI Public Radio for your information.
WFYI weather today, mostly sunny with a high of 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated thunderstorms possible, low 66. Isolated thunderstorms and partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 87. Friday, sunny, 87. And for the weekend, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Saturday's high 89, Sunday's high 85. Right now, mostly sunny and 65 degrees. For WFYI News, I'm Sharon Allseth.
Thank you, Sharon. It's 8:38 in sports. The Indianapolis Colts have signed free agent defensive end.